I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello guys, and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno, The Footnotes. Now, this week, we're going pretty highbrow, because we have award-winning journalist, author, documentary filmmaker, screenwriter, and podcaster, John Ronson.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's so nice to be here, thank you. I feel like you guys and I are, we're the two porn podcasts.
Exactly, yeah. The premier porn podcast.
Yes.
We're in a niche, I think.
We are.
But maybe we're going to start a wave.
Right. It's us, and then the odd like guy who just does a podcast about how much he loves porn.
Yeah.
And that's valid too.
So I do feel like this is the first time we've met, but I feel like we're intertwined in a way. You guys have done, you know, insanely well, and I'm a little bit of a sort of Johnny come lately when it comes to porn podcasting.
We're the old pros, don't worry.
Yeah, when I listen to yours, it's like it's really complicated stuff about interpersonal relationships happening in like factories and in photocopying rooms, and I'm sort of trying to concentrate, but I'm drifting a little bit, and then suddenly they're fucking. It's like, every time that happens, I really laugh.
There's quite a lot of like institutional setting up, isn't there? The sort of infrastructure of a place, that maybe the hierarchy and the staffing structure, and then
fucking.
There's no other word for it.
But he uses that word all the time.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's really nice. So, yeah, exactly. I love the fact that it's so parochial. And obviously that's part, you know, that's a very big part of the charm of it, that it's so British. And there's no, although he's Northern Irish, right?
Northern Irish, yeah.
Okay. But that sort of generic thing.
UK-ish,
yeah. Whereas, of course, you know, there's sort of embarrassments and the weird little cultural oddnesses that make sexual stuff so less sexual.
Yeah, exactly. Now, your podcast, The Butterfly Effect, tackles porn, but should we say from a very different angle to ours?
Yes. So it's a show that we made about the consequences of the tech takeover of the porn industry. So The Butterfly Effect, like the flap of the butterfly's wings, is this kid in Brussels called Fabian,
who has a fascinating character. Fabian,
so interesting, and his idea was to give the world free porn. That was his kind of brainwave, and he got so rich that he ended up with an aquarium with its own diver. You know you're doing well when you get your own diver.
But I love when you're like, how rich are you? He's like, I wouldn't say I was rich.
So how many cars have you got? Like, yeah, 18.
Exactly. And two McLarens. Okay, cool, you're rich.
Yeah. I liked the sound of his pool that kind of self-filled as he pressed a button. That sounded amazing.
That's very Bond villain,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's definitely on the breadline.
Yeah. So the way that Fabian got enough money is by 18 cars and a diver, his own diver.
Is it his own diver? Is he there all the time?
I would be lying if I said it was his own diver. But he comes like...
Is it like how we would have maybe a cleaner, like once a fortnight, once a week? Yeah. Okay, right.
But unlike, you know, I mean, your cleaner presumably doesn't put on a wetsuit and then dive into the coral reef.
You have not seen Alice's flat, believe me.
I'm never there when she's there, but maybe that's why. Maybe that's why she likes me to vacate.
Which makes you suspect that, you know, at one point you get enough money that you just don't know what to do with it. And that's that's when you get the diver.
he's definitely reached that point,
And where did his money come from? It came from the pockets of an entire community of porn people. to explain. Pornhub, which was his brainchild, its business model was facilitating the illegal uploading of pirated porn.
Mm. Just checking, have you heard of it, boys? Pornhub.
How do we spell that?
What I didn't realise was that all of those sites are run by him. Mm. That it's such a monopoly. It's not just
Pornhub, all of your favourite you sites.
So you thought you were shopping
it's basically
around.
My favourites tab.
I'll tell you where you can go if you have a sort of ethical imperative to not give Fabian any more money.
Oh, yes, please.
X-Hamsters. That's a free porn site that Fabian does not own.
Oh, okay.
But he owns.
Is it still stolen content?
I'm sure.
Okay, fine. Yeah. My morality will only go so far. As long as it's free porn.
Yeah. So we made this show, which was all about tracing the consequences of Fabian's business plan. And some of the consequences you can imagine are kind of pretty obvious. But what my producer Lena and I discovered was that there were these incredibly interesting, unexpected consequences.
Mm. One of my favourites was the custom porn.
Yes. Well, the reason why custom porn came into existence is because everything's keyword searchable now. Like in the old days, porn films would have titles like Belinda Blink, or Women of Influence, or The Billionaire's Blonde.
Those were the days.
They were the days. Mike Quasar, who's like one of the great porn directors, so he was the one who made The Billionaire's Blonde and Women of Influence. Mm. And he was reminiscing about those golden days while we were on the set of Stepdaughter Cheerleader Orgy.
Oh, of course, how did I forget Stepdaughter Cheerleader Orgy?
God, that's a classic, isn't it?
Yeah. And he explained that the reason why his films these days are all called Stepdaughter Cheerleader Orgy or My Stepfather, you know, likes into it. It's all keyword search. Yeah. The
right.
They've lost a bit of the poetry.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no creativity now. It's just literally sell, sell, sell or steal, steal, steal.
Yeah. So what they do, what people like Matt Quasar have to do, it's like they have got no other option, is to see what the most searched for keywords are.
Wow.
And then make films that are based on those most searched for terms, like Stepdaughter, Cheerleader and Orgy. Particularly
PhD, feminist, confident.
Particularly anything to do with any step stuff.
Okay.
Stepfather. Interesting.
It's incest. Everybody other than us sitting around this table, so it seems, are obsessed with incest porn. That's like the most searched for porn, but they can't call it incest porn because, of course, that's illegal and gross. So what they do is they call it Stepdaughter Cheerleader Orgy. And in fact, when we were on the set of Stepdaughter Cheerleader Orgy, like we were there for the dialogue scene and all these guys...
You were there for the story.
Right, and all these guys were like, I like the look of your daughter. And a mic from behind the camera was going, Stepdaughter.
Through marriage.
Otherwise, it's gross, guys.
So I said to Mike, so other people who were... who just aren't keyword searchable, who kind of slip through the net. Like if you're kind of obsessed with everything being keyword searchable, are there women who just can't get work because they're not keyword searchable? And the answer is yes. If you're not a teen and you're not a MILF, you're fucked. Or indeed, you're not.
Or not.
You're not fucked. Yeah. If you're 25, it's kind of impossible to get work in porn because you're too old to be a teen and you're too young to be a MILF. So I said, what do people do then in those fallow years between teen and MILF? And the answer is custom porn.
Custom porn.
Do you want to explain what...
Well, yeah, your most famous example in the show is that a guy in Norway wanted his stamp collection burning and destroyed by some female porn stars, right?
Yes. He had 10... It turns out he had 10 books of stamps that he collected over a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he makes the, you know, he commissions these bespoke porn films that are just for him of porn stars destroying his stamps, first by grinding their high heels into them and then by throwing them in the fire, and then they all start chanting, "Burn, burn."
I can't believe that's niche. I can't believe that that's custom. Surely there are loads of people who want to watch that.
Yeah, but what's so amazing about Stamps Man is that he has become this incredibly mysterious figure in the valley. Like all of these bespoke porn people are all like, you know, have you had an email from Stamps Man? So Stamps Man like enlivened a whole bunch of people's lives. One time I was with a bespoke porn woman and I said to her, oh, have you ever, you know, did you ever get a guy... asking you to destroy his book of stamps? And she looked at me and she said, are you Stamps Man? Because I wear glasses, right?
Sorry, we booked you because we thought you were Stamps Man. If you're not, this whole process is just a waste of time.
I feel like we could do like a custom porn for Belinda Blinked. I feel like there's definitely like recreating a scene through custom porn. We should email them. We actually got an email, I can't confirm if it was from Pornhub.
I think it was Pornhub.
Are you sure? Asking us if they could make a Belinda Blinked sex scene with our permission.
And what did you say?
I don't think we ever replied.
Hey, I'll tell you what, if you ever want to go for that, Lena and I can put you in touch with some great bespoke porn producers who would love that.
Oh my God.
Really? I mean, would that be legitimising my dad a little bit too much, though, for his awful erotica to suddenly be an actual porn film?
Do you think this whole thing was just about getting a custom porn made? Has he just done the script for a custom porn?
It's basically like the biggest Kickstarter in the whole world. It's just really creatively done, Dad. Well done. We're on to you.
Has anything else... you've listened to Belinda Blinked.
Yes, I mean, the thing that galvanised me the most by far was about the kind of relationship between you and your father and, you know, the fact that you are having to grapple with your father's inner life.
Or a life that he wishes he had, that never had.
Is that... Do you think that's at the root of the show's popularity?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something about me discovering that my dad is more than just a father... You know, he is no longer this kind of cipher of a human being. He's a real person with desires and wants and passions.
Can I just say, I love that this is turning into a John Ronson documentary. It's like amazing.
And yeah, it is.
Do you think that's the reason?
So what was it in your childhood, Jamie?
You've been Ronson.
What was it? I've been well and truly Ronson.
I've never seen him actually answer this question. This is very exciting.
No, it is interesting though, isn't it? Because it's something that we don't ever talk about as a society when actually it's the most natural thing in the world. You don't want to be confronted by your parents' fantasies necessarily, but when you are, it does actually reveal quite a lot about them. Mm. And it's actually brought me and my dad way closer. Actually, I don't know whether that's because we've told it through a podcast and the success of the show has been so exciting a journey to go on. But
Or because your fantasies tally or...
Shut at you.
We've got so much in common.
I have a pots and pans fetish too.
Oh, God. No, I don't understand him, but I'm trying to.
Right.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm really interested to, because you've obviously been on porn sets, as you said, a dialogue scene. And I was just wondering if the dialogue of, what was it, Bad...
Stepdaughter Cheerleader Orgy, Bad Babysitters Volume 2.
Was the dialogue in that as good as the dialogue that my dad writes? Could Dad actually write a good porno, or is my dad just so far away from the mark that it's embarrassing?
I would say the latter.
Okay. Oh, no. You can't even fit into the algorithm porn.
It does make me laugh because it's incredibly, obviously, you know, it's incredibly complicated. It's very hard to keep up with the plot. Mm. It is not brilliantly written. What's the last phrase I heard? Breast tit.
Breast tits. Yeah, they are definitely not a thing. Yeah. As you know, having been in the valley for so long. Yeah.
Actually, we embedded ourselves mainly with Mike Quasar, who's actually very funny. And he writes the dialogue the night before.
And you can't tell.
Some of it's really good. He had a really good joke, which I think he might have nicked from The Simpsons, actually. But there was a good joke when we were watching the filming of Amish Gills on Rumspringer Volume 2, which, by the way, he said he was surprised as anybody that there would be a call for a volume two, but he said maybe volume one left too many unanswered questions.
Right.
What's it called?
Amish Girls on Rumspringa. So for people who don't know, because obviously Amish is much more of an American thing than a British thing. So the Amish, as you know, are these, the carts and the beards and the old fashioned dress. But then when the kids are, 17 approximately, they go on this thing called Rumspringa. I apologise if any of your Amish listeners are getting annoyed for me getting things slightly wrong. But I can tell you it's only slightly wrong if it is wrong. For a year...
Amish famously love podcasts, so it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Rumspringa ones are listening to podcasts because the whole point about Rumspringa is that they go out into the world.
Right.
And they have sex and they party.
Oh.
Yeah. And they go clubbing and they do whatever they want to do. And in that year, they decide whether or not to continue or not. Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And I think the Amish are pretty cool about it. And it's like if their kids decide, no, I'm all about partying and sex, that the parents are like, oh,
and
fine.
Having buttons and frills. Right. They're like, I just love these frilly collars. I can't go back.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So that's wrong. So Mike came up with the idea of having a porn film based on the Rumspringa experience.
To be fair,
smart.
That
is brilliant.
Because they're all, because the women are all dressed in like the Amish stuff and, what's going underneath.
The bonnets.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
people go wild for bonnets.
What are they suppressing underneath those bonnets, Alice?
So one line of dialogue that he wrote was a guy knocks on the Amish girl's door and she says her father's not in. He's on the wagon. And the guy says, what? Is he trying to give up drinking? And she says, no, he's actually on a wagon. I thought that was a solid Amish line.
So 4 out of 10, I'd say.
Yeah. So it's something that my dad would have written, but sure.
The Amish go wild for that, though.
Yeah.
In, Amish circles, that's...
Oh, that is wild.
So there's an awkwardness to Belinda Blink that you don't see in the Valley. Like in the Valley, everybody's very fine, with sex. They don't feel the need to dress it up in any way.
No.
It's all about this.
And quite slick, I think, whereas there's sort of a lot of... there's just a lot of times when they don't have sex. He sometimes gets a bit carried away, not necessarily with the story, but just like you say, with those kind of extraneous details. Whereas I feel like you kind of get down to business in porn, right? You don't, people don't want to have to skip through 17 minutes of back plot, yeah,
exactly,
do they?
And no one enjoys the dialogue. None of the actors enjoy the dialogue scenes.
Really?
Yeah, no, they all want to just, have the sex.
Why do they still insist on the storylines?
I mean, Mike's a dying breed in that, he is making the porn that you'll watch in hotel rooms and that you'll buy on DVDs. And of course, almost nobody watches porn in hotel rooms or on DVDs anymore. But 10 years ago, that's how, well, I guess 15 years ago, that's how everybody would watch porn. So Mike is basically making porn for a massively shrinking market, but he's just holding on.
He just loves to write those scenes.
And is that because he's financed by the people that want those scenes? Because he knows it's all going to be stolen anyway.
Yes.
So it isn't really...
And they bear that in mind. It's like,
right.
It's like just about... It's like there's just a tiny razor-thin profit margin. There's still enough hotels that will pay for it. There's still enough people who, for some insane reason that even Mike can't understand, will still go to a DVD store and buy a porn DVD.
We were on tour earlier this year and we were driving down the motorway and we saw a huge kind of... It was like a big warehouse of porn. Do you remember, guys?
Like a sex emporium, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was just this really...
At a service station.
At a service station. Quite a sad building with just loads and loads of DVDs of porn. We were like, who comes here and buys this stuff? But it was quite busy, actually. Right.
But the DVDs weren't cheap. It was like £5 for £100 or something.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I think I've just thought of another reason why they have the dialogue scenes.
Oh.
And I think it's because the other way Mike makes money is through softcore. So there's certain markets and certain countries where softcore's okay, but hardcore isn't. And I reckon if it's softcore, then you just need to fill it up with something.
Yeah.
So the dialogue really helps,
Like those movies that they'd show on Channel 5 at midnight the late 90s, which I never watched.
Well, do you remember the old pink... You're probably too young to remember the pink triangles on Channel 4.
I am, maybe. Yeah.
What's that?
Well, when Channel 4 first started, they would show, risque erotic films or, you know, sort of transgressive films made by people like Ken Russell, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And they would have, or like, you know, I Know Corrida, like those sort of art, set porn art films. Mm. And they would have pink triangles in the corner of the screen to basically warn people that there's about to be
It's a coming.
Sex. Yeah. And it was never straight out porn. It was what, when I started in journalism, it's what editors used to call legit tit. Because it's not like out and out porn. It's like,
you know, it's like arty.
Like National Geographic is legit tit.
Right.
And I always remember that bleak phrase from when I lived in Manchester.
Oh my God. But you wouldn't say it about a person. You wouldn't be like, oh, that's some legit tit walking past. That wasn't like a sort of like a way of saying like, that's a... It's a highbrow lady with a great rack. That's some legit.
She's
tip.
The marrying kind.
No, they would say that Japanese art film that happens to have unsimulated sex that's legit.
Has a bagload of legit tit. Right. Yeah.
Obviously, we all here do porn podcasts, but is there a market for audio porn? Because I've heard of ASMR. Have you heard of ASMR?
Yes.
Is there such a thing as audio porn? Audio only porn.
Yeah, I think, well, there's telephone porn. In fact, I know a lady who does phone sex for a living. So that works.
Yeah.
There must be a bit of story there. You've got to build up to that
it's
on the phone.
It's got to be a bit, right? I've become quite good friends with Monica Lewinsky. So I was listening to Slow...
All right.
Well, I was listening to Slow Burn quite recently.
And, it's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, and they, you know, Monica and Clinton had telephone sex. So obviously audio sex is a thing.
Right.
Yeah, because they keep bringing it up in Slow Burn, which is a fantastic podcast if people haven't heard it. Mm. But they talk about having phone sex a lot and they kind of say it in a bit of an offhand way where they're like, and then they had some more phone sex. But I'm always like, what's going on there?
Other?
What are they saying?
Yeah.
But absolutely. You know, so tell me.
I don't know. What I've discovered with Monica is that you've got a very, like, you can't just blast her with questions about
Fair
it.
Fair enough.
Really, because like, people must never ask her about it. So, like...
No, I tend to wait. I've known her for a few years and I like her very much. But what I tend to do is wait, and if she brings it up herself, then I'll ask.
You get your notebook out and you're like, I've got some questions.
Press record.
Yeah. What is the etiquette when you go and watch a porno being filmed? Because... if you go to the theatre and you see a play and you're not really that into it, you obviously wait till the interval and then you maybe don't come back, I guess. I've never done it, but if you were enjoying it so little that you wanted to leave, that's probably when you would go, because a walkout feels rude.
Yeah.
So it's a walkout on a porn set. Is that not a bit of a snub?
You know what? I think the opposite is true. I've never had this conversation with anybody, but my instinct, having been on, I don't know how many porn sets I've been on, maybe 8, 10, something like that. My instinct is that the less attention you pay, the better. I actually ended up in a porn film. I was in Public Disgrace, where I got too close to the action, peering in. You see a bespectacled tweedy journalist peering. Yeah,
peering in. Porno.
Yeah, I'm in Public Disgrace. And
which volume?
That I don't know, but I remember the name of the porn star. She was called Jodie Taylor, and she was being, you know, it was like a gangbang in a bar.
Sure. You're just drinking there.
This was
happened to find yourself in that particular bar that night. Right.
This was the very first porn film I ever went on.
So how did you end up in it?
I just got a little bit too close and drifted into shot. So there is a moment when a tweedy, because I was wearing quite a tweedy jacket, there was a tweedy, like owl-like, bespectacled journalist suddenly creeps into shot and writes things down in a notepad, which I can't help think is going to like spoil the erotic ambience for most people.
But a tweedy journalist, that might be someone's thing.
Well, that's what you would think. I think it would be a niche quirk, but you know,
not an
algorithm that's
getting much work at the minute. We're going to make a whole movie on bespectacled owl-like journalists.
I tell you, my big memory of that night though was just how late the filming went on for. It was like 2 a.m. and I was just standing there thinking, please ejaculate so I can go to sleep.
You sound like Belinda.
Is that your main objection? You're like, I could work in porn, but it's such late night.
Yeah, which is why Mike Quasar, who we embedded ourselves with, it was such a blessing because he shoots during the day. He's not interested in late nights. He just wants to like get in. He is so sick of watching people have sex. I mean, that's all he's done since the 90s is watch people have sex. And I've never known somebody to hate sex as much as he does. So he just wants to get in, shoot it. He doesn't want to keep himself or anybody else waiting for any longer than they have to. He does like 4 scenes a day. pretty much, how many, like 5 or 6 days a week. What? Yeah, Jesus. Mike Quasar will be filming somebody have sex now. You know, whatever time anybody listens to this, that's going to be true.
That's an evergreen comment right there.
Yeah, it really is. The audience had to improvise in public disgrace because the narrative was more simpler than your dad's narratives.
Right, okay.
Basically,
that's saying something.
Yeah, a woman is pulled into a bar by the dominatrix, Princess Donna.
Sure.
Yeah.
Donna.
And the people in the bar have to act surprised, like, oh my God, you know, what's going on? And then when they're into it, they were supposed to like call things out. The audience was full of hipsters. Like, for some reason, they ended up getting a whole bunch of hipsters for the crowd.
Oh. And then you, obviously.
Yeah, that was like the tweedy. And my great memory of it was everybody was like trying to help out by like shouting things out that would be helpful, but none of them were very good. And at one point, somebody shouted out because they were trying to like humiliate the woman. And so somebody shouted out, "Put ice on her tooth."
So embarrassed.
Put ice on her tooth. I mean, you've got to like credit him for giving it a try.
I mean,
like,
just go with an ad lib. Yeah. Just try it.
But I didn't do anything like that. I just crept into shop to get a closer look.
Do you think it made it in?
Put ice on her tooth. I know that I made it in, because I know that for sure, because I asked Twitter whether, like, has anybody ever watched Public Disgrace and had seen me in it, and somebody like within 10 minutes sent me screenshots of myself. Wow, yeah, God. So I'm definitely in
it. So were you like with Family Ronson, were you like, gather round, kids? Daddy's on screen.
Daddy's in a porno. Yeah. I feel like searches are going to go up for that now. People are going to find that.
Right.
Comment on it with something Belinda Blinked related.
Yes.
Please.
Exactly. Please.
So yeah, the hints are Princess Donna, Jodie Taylor, Public Disgrace.
John Ronson.
You know what to do.
John Ronson.
You know what to do.
John, thank you so, so much for coming and imparting all your knowledge about porn. We feel much more learned now, I think.
No, thank you. This has been like an honour. And I'm glad it feels like the time I first met Louis Theroux. Because we were like these two distant people that were constantly being compared to each other. Yeah. So it's like that all over again.
We're brethren.
We are.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.